thank the Lord for His Word. I'm enjoying. I just started my second year through the 1 year Bible, and I signed up for this different one this year online, and it's got a devotional ahead of it that's about twice as long as the scripture reading. So I'm like, oh boy, this is a lot more. But God's Word is good. One of the things I really found last year, just reading through the 1 year, I know a lot of times people don't like doing it because it's a lot of reading and it's fast, you know. But the truth is, what it is that you kind of get a really good overview of the scripture, right? And you hear and hear and hear and hear the Word of God. And one of the things I noticed in God's Word so much as I read last year was this one phrase, and I will be your God and you will be my people. And I will be your God and you will be my people. God was calling all through this whole book and saying, I want to be your God. I want you to be my people. And He proved it. He's so good. So I just challenge you. We're still beginning of the year. You could do some catch up today, but we're only 8 days into 7 days. What are we? 7 or 8? 8 today. We're on the 8th today. Get signed up. Get into a Bible reading plan and read the Word of God. It's good. It's good for you to get God's Word into your heart. So let's start with prayer here. Lord, we just, Lord, want to, Lord, grow in you. Lord, we want to experience everything that you have for us this year. Lord, in 2017, Lord, we want to know you, Lord, more than we've ever known you. We want to be known by you more than we've ever been known by you. Lord, we want, Lord, our lives to be a glory to your name. So, Lord, we begin. Lord, I think about last week was our first Sunday of the year, first day of the year, Lord, and we are here worshiping you, giving you our first. And Lord, we hear at the beginning of this week again, giving you our first. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you would just, Lord, light up your word for us. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So this year we're on a series or on a journey, really. And it's really our theme for the year is living in the presence of God. Living in His presence. And I pray every year, God, give me a theme for the year. And sometimes, you know, I'm really sure of it, and sometimes I'm not really that sure, and you kind of just do your best. I'm a pastor. That means I have superpowers. I know everything that God wants to do. No, I have to struggle through it just like you. I'm just like trying to understand God's will, Lord, for me and for us as a church. So this year I was away in October at a conference, and it was in Dallas, Texas, at Robert Morris's church, Gateway Church. And really, I was really deeply impacted there by the presence of the Lord. I'm just going to talk about that a little bit this morning. But while I was there, God really spoke to me about this for our theme this year. I believe that we all love the Lord. I think that you guys are some of the most awesome people in the world. Honestly, I love doing life with you. I love sharing my heart, my day with you. I love like walking with you through good times and bad times. I just love you guys. I do. But I want us all to keep walking closer to Jesus. I want us all to know Him more. I want other people to know Him through our lives. I want His glory to shine out of us. So I really want us to have a deeper and fuller walk with God. I don't believe what we've experienced to this point is all there is. I don't believe that this is the end or this is the kind of equivalent of what God has for you as a people, for us as a church, whatever. I believe that our walk with God can grow and develop and become more and more vibrant, more and more strong, more and more deep, more and more mature every year. So I just want to invite us this year into a deeper walk with God. So I just really want to talk about why I'm doing this series and why this theme. I've walked with the Lord for a long, long time. I think I gave my heart to the Lord as a 9-year-old. I remember I've told this story, so just, you know, listen anyway. But like when we were young, my parents had an encounter with God. It was during the charismatic revival of the 70s. And when you're a kid, and the church we were going to wasn't a fun church to go to back in the day. And my dad didn't really like going, so he had every kind of excuse whenever he could to get out of it. And whenever he could get out of it back in the day, I would try and stay home with him and help him on the farm. You know, and so, like, I mean, we didn't really have a vibrant relationship with God when we were young. We went through the motions of church. We did our thing, our church thing on Sundays. But my parents had an encounter with God, and our lives changed. We went from trying to skip church. We were driving all over God's green earth trying to find another service to go to. I can't tell you how many coloring books and, you know, different stuff that we went through as kids while we were sitting in the pew of a church or in somebody's living room listening to somebody preach about Jesus and about the Holy Spirit and how He could change your life. So I gave my heart to the Lord early in life. And I've had some very serious encounters with the Lord. I've had some times where God has really, you know, touched my heart deeply. And so I am a person, though, that I'm either hot or cold. Like, I'm not lukewarm either. I'm good or I'm bad. Or I'm either happy or I'm sad. Like, I'm just kind of that in between. I'm not that in between person. So when I get into something, I'm into it. Like, I remember when I took up golf. I wanted to play golf every day. We didn't have any money back then, but whatever golf deal that we could find, every extra dollar that I could find, I wanted to be out on the golf course. I wanted to play golf, and then I got kind of like started to become an angry person playing golf. I'm non-competitive. I could actually care less, win or lose. But all of a sudden, I was like missing a shot, and I was like getting all angry, wanting to throw my clubs at people and at myself, and beat it on the ground. I was like, oh, this is stupid. So I packed up my clubs, and I never played golf for years after that. I stopped playing. I just started picking it up a little bit again this year. I think about a few years ago, I got a Kobo e-reader, and I always have been a reader. I always like reading, but when I got the Kobo, it was all right there. I didn't have to go hunting for books. They were right there in front of me, and in that first year I had my Kobo, I read 150 books in 1 year on my Kobo, and then plus I still read a ton of other books, you know, for study purposes. So I probably read 200, 250 books that year, and then all of a sudden I was like, sick of reading. Didn't pick up a book for like 6 months, you know? I'm just that person. That I'm either into it or not into it. And as a believer, that's been kind of a struggle for me. I've had to kind of work through that deal because, like, sometimes I could be like that with the Lord. I could either be really into my walk with God or I could be really kind of cold. I could kind of really be pressing into the Lord or I could really kind of step back, right, from Him. So I've struggled over the years with being hot or cold with the Lord. At least I'm not the guy, you know, like in the church that Paul talks about in the New Testament, in Revelations, it says lukewarm, God will spit you out of His mouth. Ours is usually really hot or really cold. There's no in between. But, you know, I struggle with that. And I've come to realize that I like being hot for the Lord a lot better than being cold. Anybody else come to that realization? Anybody else been in those times where you just kind of feel far away from God, and then you have these times where you're close? How many of you would rather be close? So you'd rather be far. There's no point being here. You might as well pack up, head out the door now, go home. There's no point, right? So, Ed said it. Everybody, you know, we kind of know as a church last year was kind of like one of those ones we all just wanted to pull the handle on at the end of the year and say done with it. It was a hard year as a church. Like I was like, you know, losing Bethany, and then, you know, my friends lost their baby, and then, you know, like, you know, friends were going through some really financial hard times, and then Jenna lost her baby, and Aubrey got in a bad act, and there was just, it just never ended. Last year was just like, eh. Right? And I was really fighting through my own personal life, you know, between, you know, struggling with my spiritual and emotional walk, because it was hard. Like, I'm a pastor, and I've got to encourage and prop up and help those who are going through hard times when I'm grieving myself, you know? So it was a challenging year for me, and I was really fighting to stay in the presence of the Lord. There was times where I just really had a hard time to pray. So as I said many times, I just pray in the Spirit. I think it's a great thing to do. Just pray in the Holy Spirit. God's given us the gift of tongues. And what the Bible teaches about that is that it bypasses our mind in a lot of ways. So we just, our spirit talks to God's spirit and kind of sorts it out. And I believe in that so much because over the last year, I prayed in the spirit a lot, just like God sorted out. But I was really struggling, and I really wanted to get away last year. I asked the board early in the year to budget for a conference for me, and then we got into late September, and I was kind of like planning over the last few months to go away, but then I just was tired. And I didn't feel like going anywhere. I didn't feel like being around people. I was just kind of tired. So I kind of had decided not to go. You know, we got through the yard sale, we got through youth camp, and I was just beat. I was just like tired. And so Christine said, no, you should go. So I said, okay, I'm going to go. So I went. And this is the one thing I found. I had an opportunity in the last year to either press into the presence of God or to turn my back and walk away from the presence of the Lord. And I could choose either. I could have become hotter or colder, and I chose to keep pressing into the presence of God. And it saved my life, really. It really saved my life. I really believe that when we get in God's presence, it saves us. So I went away. I went to this conference. If you're close to me and you've heard me talk, most of you who have heard me talk know I'm getting kind of tired of going to conferences because it's like it's all become kind of shop. It's all become how to build the better church, how to do this better, how to do guest services better, how to preach a little better, how to do this and that. And I was just like getting a little tired of technical church because I didn't grow up in technical church. I grew up in a place where we just experienced the presence of the Lord and the Lord touched us. I remember in the early days of Jubilee, you know, like we were a ragtag bunch of people. Like, it was just like, there was people, like, every different kind of person you could think of. We had millionaires and we had paupers. We had people that were, you know, their lives were messed up, and we had people that, you know, had everything was perfect for. And we just had everybody come together, and just the presence of the Lord was here. We just never knew what to expect in a Sunday service. We just believed God, and we just, every Sunday I come to church, oh, I wonder what God's going to do today. And so, like, we live with that expectation. We grew up in that. And I just was a little, and I was away with my friend, John Strutt. He was pastor of the Pentecostal church in town. And we were just talking about saying, is there any conference anymore we could go to where we just experience the presence of the Lord and just let people pray for you and just receive, right? So I went, and it was like, yahoo. I mean, it was unbelievable. Like, and it's not, like, every Sunday I experience the presence of the Lord here. It's just a lot of times as pastor here, I'm carrying a lot of, you know, you guys on my shoulder and in my heart when I'm standing here. So just being away and just experiencing the presence of God. I told Christine when I went, I'm not going to make any friends. I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm just going to hang out by myself for a week. That didn't go that well. but like, I'm not that guy. I'm friendly. I'm happy. You know, but anyway, I just really wanted to get alone with God, and I did. And God touched me so deeply. God took this heavy weight I've been carrying for the whole year. And just that kept getting added on to. And God lifted it off me as I came into his presence. Now I know this. God wants to touch you. And I don't think that God just meant us to have to go away to some service somewhere so we could experience his presence and that we could, you know, be free. It does help once in a while to get away, but God wants you to be free, and he wants you to be touched. So, I really, what I realized when I was away was that the presence of God is available to us. God's never holding it back. God's never saying, oh, just wait a little longer. Just beg a little bit more. He's really open and willing to meet with us and to touch our hearts and lives. How many of you have ever really experienced the presence of the Lord? You could say, I experienced the presence of the Lord. I don't like putting people on the spot by putting up your hand, but I want, if you have, put up your hand. I know so many people that come to church here. Some come and stay, some people come visit and they leave, but just a few months ago, there was a young man in the service, and after church, he said, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I'm like, why? He said, because it feels I feel something in this place. It's like, there's something in this place. It's just like, and I'm like, well, that's Jesus. And he said, that's why I want him, you know. We can experience the presence of the Lord. And it doesn't have to be funky. It doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be all spooky. It's a real, the presence of the Lord is real. As much as God gave us an intellect, a mind to learn about him, to experience him intellectually, he also gave us emotion so that we can experience him emotionally. I believe that God wants to touch you. I believe that God wants to change you. So when we talk about the presence of the Lord, and that's what we're going to talk about this year, we talk about kind of three different things. The first thing we talk about really is the omnipresence of God, right? Does everybody know what that means? Omnipresent means he's everywhere, everything. This is what David said in Psalm 139. He said, where could I go to escape from you? In verse 7 to verse 12, it says, where could I go to escape from you? Where could I get away from your presence? If I went up to heaven, you'd be there. If I lay down in the world of the dead, you would be there. If I flew away beyond the east or lived in the farthest place in the west, you would be there to lead me. You would be there to help me. I could have asked the darkness to hide me or the light around me to turn into night, but even darkness is not dark for you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. So the whole idea of this verse is that the omnipresence of God, you can't get away from it. There's no way to escape the omnipresence of God. He's everywhere. And then we have something like we would describe as the inner presence of God. That's what we experience when we commit our lives to Jesus, when we ask God to come into our heart and our life, and the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. We experience the inner presence of God. We experience him here inside of us. And then the third thing that we experience is the manifest presence of God. It's when God makes his presence known among us. This series is really about living in the place of God's manifest presence. I want to describe that a little bit better for you. So I used the illustration a while ago about the millionaire, but while I was here, I was just trying to think of something that would describe it better. So 12 years ago, my father passed away while I was away in Mexico, and I flew back across the country. And I was really down and out and having all these, you know, it's emotional. It was hard. Sort of knew my whole life was changing. I knew we had already had a succession plan. I was going to be the new pastor of the church. So not only was I losing my father, my job was changing. Everything was changing. And I was, like, pretty down and out, to be honest with you. And so I was flying back. And I was just looking forward to being with somebody who I knew. I was really looking forward to being with Christine and seeing her and having her hold me. So when I landed at the airport, Christine was already present at the airport. She was already there. She was waiting on my flight to get in, and she was there. And while I was getting off the plane and walking through the airport and heading down to where you collect your luggage, she was already there. She was there. She was waiting on me. She was ready for me. But when I walked into the luggage retrieval area, and she was on the escalator coming down, and I saw her, and I ran to her, and she hugged me. She was present there. She wasn't just in the airport, but she was present. Her presence was manifest. That presence changed my perspective of the moment. And God's just not in the airport this morning. God's just not in your vicinity this morning. God's coming down the escalator. He wants to give you a big old hug and tell you everything's going to be okay. And tell you there's life filled with joy and peace and strength and hope and love and all those things. That's the difference between the omnipresence of God and the manifest presence of God. God wants to manifest himself to you. Not only on Sundays in church, but every day. Last week I said a phrase that just kind of popped out. I've been thinking about it all week. Sing until it moves from here to here. You ever have that feeling when you're in worship and all of a sudden it's just not something you're singing from your head? All of a sudden it's just like that scripture says, a river of living water flowing up from your innermost being. There is that moment when we press into God, in the presence of God, where all of a sudden it changes from being a head thing to being a heart thing. And God wants that for us all the time. It's just we have to prioritize, as we talked about last week, the presence of God. One thing, you know, I was talking a lot about me being a hot or cold person. One thing I've learned a long time ago is the person you are today is not the person you have to stay. Right? We all have the ability to grow and change. So if you've always kind of struggled with your walk with God about being cold and hot, you don't have to stay that way. You could change. You could become more disciplined. You could become more hungry for the presence. You could just keep pushing into God's presence. So this series is really about living in the place where God makes himself known to us. And the question I have is can we really experience that all the time? Can we live in that? Can we walk in that? Can we have that all the time? Or is it just something for a special time? So we're going to sort of look at that and think about that. I really believe that we could have it all the time. I believe that, you know, like I've watched over the years. I remember, and if you talk to Harold, he'll tell you, he was like in a revival over at Grassy for a bunch of years. And he saw God move when his presence showed up in the place. He grew up in the charismatic revival. We saw a move of God here in the church, you know, a few times over the years where God's presence was just really powerful and really strong. And I was in Brownsville, Florida, and I've been around. Toronto, you know, had the move of God there. There's just been many moves of God over the years, and they just seem to come and land and then leave. I'm just not really happy to accept that idea. But I think a lot of times it's because many people just jump on the bandwagon when the wagon's flying by instead of really going after God for themselves. So my hope is that through this we'll also start to go after God for ourselves. So we're going to talk about the presence. I want to talk about his manifest presence. I kind of just started to cover it, you know, when I talked about Christine in the airport, but I want to talk a bit more about it. It says, if we go right back to the beginning, we can see that Adam and Eve, right, it all started out in the garden, and Adam and Eve walked with God every day in the garden. You guys remember that? Does that seem cool to you, or is that just like, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and blah, 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 right? Is it, like, have you thought about that? Have you thought about what it would be like to walk with God in the garden in the cool of the day? Have you thought about that? Really thought about it. Like think. So this last year, I had a new addiction. I got a Fitbit. So I started walking a lot. And so Christine will tell you, she couldn't get me off the couch to walk for years. And I bought this little thing that's attached to my belt here. And now she can't get me to sit down. Okay, you've walked enough now. Stop it. Right? So, but we started to walk together quite a lot. And when we walk together, it's really nice. You know, you kind of just walk along, and sometimes you're quiet, and sometimes you're just sharing with each other. And it's just kind of a nice experience. But generally, you know, we're kind of on a walk, like a walk. So we're just walking, and I walk too slow, so I got to walk faster. How come women walk faster than men? They're shorter, right? But men walk slower. So anyway, I gotta force myself these big long steps. Let's walk, right? And I'm trying to, you know, keep up with her. So I'm like, so we can't talk very well. But every once in a while, we have one of these conversations where we're just taking our time a little bit. And we're just enjoying. We've been walking out at Chippewa Creek there before it got really cold, and the crowds had left. And we're walking, you know, it's all leaves falling and pine needles falling. It was beautiful, and we just enjoyed, you know, going there on a Sunday afternoon or in the evening and just go for a walk and just see the beauty of God's creation. But it was nice being there with her. But I got to tell you, if I could go for a walk with God in the garden instead, I'd trade her off in a heartbeat. Sorry. But that's just the way it is. God, walking with God in the garden in the cool of the day, that's what they did, right? So they got to walk with God each day, enjoying a walk with God and just looking around at the garden. I just think about this. Sometimes we just think God's like, well, okay, let's go for our daily walk. And, you know, but it wasn't that way. God delighted in them. God was like, this is the garden I created for you. What do you think of this? How do you like that? What, you know, like, this, you know what it's like? We just look at God sometimes as kind of being flat and not really emotional. But I think God's emotional. I think he was enjoying watching them enjoying the garden, right? So they're walking with him and talking with him. So Adam and Eve, though, every day walk with him. And then they sinned. They fell. What did we lose when Adam and Eve decided to do it their own way? What did we lose? And what did we gain back when Jesus died on the cross? The manifest presence of God. The know and be known presence of God. The God with us presence of God. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. That was the first time in 4,000 years that God was able to walk with his people. In Genesis 3, verse 8, it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Sin always causes us to hide. Sin always causes us to hide from God. And if there's something we should do when we sin, we should run to God. You might have had a really bad week this week. You might have done some things that you weren't supposed to do, and you might have not lived for God the way you were supposed to. And my bet is that if you had that kind of a week, that while you were in worship this morning, there was a voice going on in your head that kept saying, you shouldn't be worshiping. Who are you to worship? I saw, you know what you did. You know, there's always this condemnation that comes because Satan wants to condemn you, wants to keep you out of God's presence. But whenever we sin, the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We should never run from him. We should run to him. So, we draw back from God when we should be running toward him. The scripture here, though, cannot be talking about the omnipresence of God, right? When it says that they hid from the presence of the Lord God among the trees, it can't be talking about his omnipresence. You can't hide from the God that's everywhere. If I go to the highest heavens, you're there. If I go to the deepest depths, you're there. If I'm in the deepest darkness, you're there. I cannot hide from you. No, it's talking about the manifest presence of God. It's talking about the with us presence known, manifest presence of God. Here's one thing I noticed. Christians can kind of like, they can push down their feelings about sin and the things that they're neglecting in their life when they're not in the presence of the manifest presence. If you're just in the omnipresence, if just you're going through your normal life and you're not encountering God, you could live with your sin. It doesn't really bother you. But when you come into the presence of God, you know that that you have to deal with the sin in your life. I know this because every time we go to youth camp, every time we have a spring conference, and people take some time to get into the presence of God, I always think this. I always wonder, like, as the worship team, what it's like. Because they do the same songs. They sing with the same kind of urgency and the same kind of passion. But by the time we're done spring conference, everybody is clapping and shouting and dancing and getting excited about the Lord. And because what they've done is they've entered the presence of God. They've come into his presence. And I find that whenever we're coming into the presence of God, we deal with our sin. We have youth camp almost always. One of the first nights of camp, we got a bunch of kids, snotty face at the altar, dealing with their sin, saying, God, I'm sorry. I want to live for you. I want to follow you. see the same thing at spring conference. Adults are a little bit more refined about it, but I see the same thing. And we come because God's presence isn't there to condemn us for our sin. It's to free us from our sin. It's to set us free. Here's the reason I think people at those type of events, because we put aside our daily lives for a while. We put aside all our cares and worries for a while. And we just get in God's presence and God touches us. It doesn't seem right that we just do it, you know, once a year or twice a year, does it? Or even if we just do it once a week in church, just get in the presence of God. Seem right to you? It's not. We're in a relationship with God. So in Exodus 33, verse 14, it says to Moses, God speaking, he said, and he said, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Again, it cannot be the omnipresence of God because that would make no sense, right? If it was the omnipresence of God, they could not, God couldn't say, I'll go with you. And they couldn't say, don't, we won't go unless you're with us, because he would be with them. But it's really talking about the manifest presence. And in those days, they saw the manifest presence, right? A pillar of fire by day, a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. I always get that backwards. But they saw the actual manifest presence of God. And it's that. So, again, the manifest presence of God is the God with us. It's the God coming down the escalator to give us a hug and tell us it's going to be okay, God. It's not God at a distance or God just sort of in the area. Whenever we gather together to worship or whenever we're having our devotional time, God wants to manifest his presence in our life. He wants us to be with him. He wants to be with us. So, the second thing I want to ask you is it possible to leave God's presence? Is it possible to leave his presence? It's impossible to leave the omnipresence of God. We already read the scriptures. There's a whole bunch of them. You can read through the Psalms and find so many of them that says we cannot leave your presence. Your presence is there. But if we think about that scripture in Genesis that we just read, we see that Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of God, the manifest presence of God. So if we read to the next chapter, Genesis 4, verse 16, Cain, it says, went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east side of Eden. God was dealing with him about, you know, his attitude in giving. And then instead of him repenting, he got upset and he killed his brother. And so then he left, the Bible said here, went out from the presence of God. He went out from his presence. He walked away from God's manifest presence. If we read in Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare there and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So there was again, there was Jonah was like leaving the presence of the Lord. You get it? So how do we leave the presence of the Lord? How is it that we leave the presence of the Lord? It's when we do not obey him. If we look at Adam and Eve, God, Adam and Eve said, don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. And they ate from the tree in the middle of the garden. And they left the presence of the Lord. They hid from his presence. Cain, he said, you know, keep your attitude right to your brother. You can sort this out. And he did it. And he left the presence of the Lord. Jonah, he said, go tell these people about me and tell them I love them. And tell them to repent. And he did it. And he left the presence of the Lord. This is not, so whenever we talk about being disobedient to God, right, people get all wrapped up in works. People get all wrapped up in obeying a set of rules. And it's really not about that. It's not about making mistakes. It's about willfully disobeying God. So if Christine said to me, "Can you pick up some things for me on the way home from work?" And I said, "Sure, I'll do that," which I have said many times. And then I get home and she says, "Where is it?" And I'm like, "I'll be right back." So I jump back in my car and go get it. But if I came home and I said, "Didn't get it. I'm not going to get it. I don't want to get it. Go get it yourself." That's the kind of attitude. So say like we just did that series on giving, and God moved on your heart. You never tithed before, and God moved on your heart to start tithing. And you're working away at it, but it's hard, right? Because it's a lot to adjust to when you've never tithed before. All of a sudden, you're giving 10% to God, and you once in a while just don't throw the whole 10% in, and it's not like you're walking away from God. But when God deals with your heart to tithe, and you say, "No, I'm not going to tithe, forget it," then you're willfully walking away from God. God never, ever wants you to walk away from Him. God never wants you to remove yourself from His presence. He has made every provision for you to walk into His presence. You just need to keep walking toward Him. You need to connect with Him. You need to follow Him. You need to obey Him. The third thing, and just close with this, is we enter the presence of the Lord through worship. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. Maybe we could read them together. This is Psalm chapter 95, verse 1 and 2. So let's read this together. "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and let us shout joyfully to Him." I can almost hear you. Okay, well, next one we're going to read, we're going to try a little harder. Read a little louder. Say it slower. Okay, I'm going to go slower. Everybody ready? Read. "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." So this is really talking about singing, making joyful noise, shouting to the Lord, being joyful in His presence, and singing to the Lord. Yeah. I mean, last week I talked about the fact that it says 90 times in the New King James Version to sing to the Lord. Worship is such an important factor in our time with God. And I understand that singing a song is not worship, right? Just singing is not worship. Worship is more than that, but singing is part of worship. But as we read, praising the Lord with shouts of joy and with singing brings us into the presence of the Lord. You might say you can't sing, right? You might say you sound horrible, and you might. You might just sound horrible, right? But that doesn't matter. The idea is that we're lifting up our voice to the one who's worthy of our praise, right? I was actually telling my kids a little while ago that I actually got paid to sing once. I was with Mom and Dad. They were speaking in Oshawa, and I was doing some Carmen songs back in the day. Thought it was pretty cool. And this church actually paid me to sing. So I was like, yay. And this is what my kids said to me. Like, this is what they said. "Dad, did they pay you to keep singing, or did they pay you to stop?" I was like, "Thanks. That was really nice of you." I like my singing, but apparently they don't. The joyful noise that comes out of my shower sometimes is like unbelievable. But seriously, though, no matter what degree of joyful noise you make, whether it actually, you know, brings people to tears because it's so beautiful, or whether it makes every coyote in your neighborhood howl, it don't really matter. We need to lift our voice and sing to the Lord. I think the one big change that I made in my life in this past 3 or 4 months is that I brought worship into my quiet times. I will sing every day to the Lord. I'll read my word. I will spend time in prayer. And I will sing to the Lord until it moves from here to here. And I'm not going to quit until it moves from here to here. I want to connect with God every day. I made a commitment that I'm gonna sing praise to God until I sense His manifest presence. And it's making every difference in my life. It's not because now my life is easier. It's not that everything is simpler now. But what I do know is this. If I'm going to go through my day, whether good or bad, I want to go through it in the presence of the Lord. This is what the Bible says in Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So what I want to challenge you with for the year to come, as we begin, you know, just talking about the presence of the Lord, I want to challenge you to really, you know, get into a lifestyle of reading God's Word, of prayer, and of singing to the Lord. If you've never sung to the Lord in your own quiet time, some of you might not have a quiet time. I realize that. I know a lot of times people do not even open their Bible in the course of a week. I just challenge you, even if you only read two or three verses a day, open your Bible and read a couple verses. If you can't read, bring me your phone. I'll set you up with a Bible app. It'll push a button, push play, and it'll read for you. You only have to read it yourself. You can just listen to the Word of God. Spend some time each day talking to God. You cannot build a relationship with God unless you talk. And then listen to Him. We talked last year a lot about hearing God's voice. God wants to speak to you. If we're going to be obedient to Him, if we're going to follow Him, then we have to learn to hear Him. So listen to God. But third thing I want to invite you to do is just take and find some good worship songs that really connect your heart to God and just sing to the Lord every day. Sing to the Lord until you met with Him. Don't accept a life of just nominal religious Christianity. We're not a religion people. If that's what we are, I resign. I'm going to go do something else. We're here to meet with Jesus. We're here to have a life of relationship with Him that we can grow in until that power and love and life of God is so big in us that it just rubs off and reflects on other people. I just want to challenge you this morning. Just get into the presence of God. Because that's what the Bible said. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. Lord, we are so thankful to You for who You are. Lord, that we as, Lord, just mere man, right? David said, what is man that You would think of him? You've made us even a little lower, you know, than the angels. But Lord, you've thought about us. You care about us. You want a relationship with us. And Lord, we realize how special and wonderful and unique that is. God, in this year, Lord, I just pray that each one of us would come into such a deep and meaningful and powerful relationship with You, Lord, that, Lord, not only would it change our life, but it would change our families, that would change our workplaces, that would change our communities, and, Lord, that would really just have an impact on the world around us. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, cafe is open. Go sit down, have a coffee with someone, share some time together. And if you need prayer, I'll be up here at the front. If you need prayer, I'll gladly pray with you. Okay, have a great day, everyone. If you can, be out on Wednesday night. We're going to spend some time in worship and prayer together.